Those and up to me,
yes.
The extra ones, and we'll just see how we use that. So if you all turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, turn there or dial it in, you know. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, if there's one passage that I would emphasize in child training, this would be one. Paul wrote it to Timothy. As we talked about last week, he wrote it to Timothy, instructing him how to most effectively help those who are rebellious. Doesn't that sound like a good parenting verse? At times? Now, he wrote it to those who were opposing his leadership. And he gives five characteristics that are needed for rightly reproving a rebel in which the Holy Spirit can work. And if you're not interested in the Holy Spirit working, then you're in the wrong book. This isn't a how self-help book. This is a how to respond to the Spirit's work in your children as a tool, as a means of grace. Not as the controller and changer, but the shaper, the influencer through his hands. So how to deal with those who rebelliously oppose his leadership. And it says this. If you can, I'm gonna quote it. If I misquote it, you tell me if I'm wrong. This is the Lord's bondservant must not quarrel, must not be quarrelsome, right? But be kind to all, patient when wronged, gently correcting those. Oh, patient when wronged. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
I'm saying it a second time just because it's needed, okay? Gently correcting those who oppose, if perhaps God, or in hopes that God will grant repentance. Right, which means a 180 in the mind that leads to a change in life. 180, you see it. And they will come to their senses. They'll acknowledge the truth, come to their senses, escape the snare of the devil. You ever think of your children as ensnared? You ever think of yourself as ensnared, right? You can, when you're angry, when you're fearful, there is a blinding effect. You are senseless spiritually. And have you been there this week, right? So we're pressing God to grant repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, who's held them captive to do his what? Will. Now, that will help you in your parenting. Every bit of every phrase in that passage, every phrase. Starting with the first, the Lord's, it's good to know he is a sovereign one. He's king, he's a ruler. The Lord's bondservant. Lords have slaves in that day. And guess who that is? You're looking at him. And I'm looking at them too. Slaves, the Lord's slave must not, drum roll please, quarrel. What's quarreling? Saying the same thing with a heightened intensity, right? You must not do it. Well, then what do I do? Let's go on. He tells us what to do. But be kind to all. Kind to the rebel. What does kindness look like? With kindness, able to what? Teach. That means you're going to have to get equipped a bit. You're going to have to read the Bible. Yeah. You're going to have to memorize some scriptures. You are going to have to do it. You cannot do this without you having it. You're going to have to get familiar with the Bible. The sword of the Spirit, right? That enlightens the eyes, right? Makes simple the wise. Makes wise the simple. Rejoices the heart. All those of Psalm 19 qualities. Able to teach. You got to get somewhere in the range of B minus. Okay? You should shoot for A. But shoot to get familiar. Able to teach. Patient. When what? Wronged. What does patience look like when your child tells you no? Now, I know what disobedience on your part may look like, impatience, but what do you do then? And in my part, impatience, what do you do if you're, okay, I'm patient, here I am, You know, patience is not just waiting for the child to change. You know what patience really, I think of it this way. You're waiting on the Spirit to guide you. You don't take a step without Him. That's what you want to try to think, right? God, I don't know what to do. I know what not to do. Be impatient. Argue. Be harsh instead of kind. I know what not to do. And that's what I've said to parents is you know often what not to do before you know what to do. And you do have to put off in order to find what to put on. But you do have to start there. Parents get hopeless and then they start taking it into their own hands and they forget that the Lord's bondservant and they forget He grants repentance. Ain't going to happen. I'm going to make you repent. You know? But you must be patient when wrong. You know what not to do. And then here's what you do. Gently correct. And those two words are the trait, the last trait in the eight traits that we've been looking at. The last of the eight traits, because we're to raise them in the instruction of the Lord after we're focused on the discipline of the Lord. You don't instruct when they're 1 month old that much, but you do structure the environment and you do give them kind of boundaries, right? You show them how to live. You can control their, they can't even move, by the way, right? You control everything about it. You feed them everything. And then they get 1.5 years old, and then you're 1 year old, somewhere in there, you're starting to show them what's right and wrong, even at that age, right? By instructing them? No, of course not. By modeling it, right? By creating rules for them. I know we had a carpet, and we told Isaac, you have to stay on the carpet, you know? We had blue lines in our house. We were made with duct tape, not to duct tape the child, but to put them on the floor. And we put duct tape on things, you know, said, honey, don't cross this line. We did. We literally made blue lines. Oh. Let us, just for the record, for those who are watching at home, this was painter's tape. We used duct tape to I remember we put a gray duct tape down to hold a cord from tripping on it, right? And it ruined the carpet. Remember that? Yes. And we had to scrub it before we, okay. What memories, right? So, here's Isaac at 2 years old. We told him not to touch the cord. Remember that?
Yes.
Because the cord could, you know, electrocute him. That's all. Not a big deal. We said, honey, don't touch the cord. He loved, you know, and here's the rebel. He's got the couch in front of him. The cord's over there. He looked, and he's putting his foot out like this. You think I can see that foot? Gentle correction. At those moments, right? Teenager. And in fact, this is written that we should gently correct anyone, not just children. And so I would ask you, have you ever been gently corrected? You've probably been harshly corrected. You know what that's like. You walk away feeling about this big, right? That, you know, the Spirit works so well when you make people feel this big, don't you? They deserve it, don't they? You're getting a little justice-oriented instead of grace. God works through you. You do have to stand firm. You have to correct. You have to correct, but it's gently. And you don't have to correct everything. But you've got to correct some things. Our peace conference, we're getting ready to do, we're going to talk about weighing concerns. You know, when do I bring this up? When do I not? That's a very important piece, to be objective biblically and say, is this my job? Because I guarantee that Tim Bryant and maybe some in this room gets out of their responsibility when you see the mayhem in the world. I start wanting to correct everything. And I only have this little bit of world right here. Now, I can do some things out there, but this is my world to correct. And my children, you know, we are nurturing. And sometimes we have to correct. So, this is an important verse. I'm going to do a Joel here. Joel will give you $10 if you'll memorize this verse.
Just the one.
Inflation. So, we got to up the ante here. No, you talk to him about that. I just had a word of knowledge, I thought. So, if you've got this outline that if some of you didn't have from last week, I'm just going to fill in the blanks here. And what page, where did those go, by the way? Did we have any extra of those?
No.
We didn't. Okay. All right. We don't have any extra. Sorry about that. Does anyone have the book with them? Okay. So you're just flying blind, everybody. Okay. Welcome. So the Lord's bondservant, when you think about being a bondservant, let's just start there.
Now, when you say an extra, we've got last week.
Yeah, yeah. There's 10 of those?
Probably.
Okay.
I'll sell them for 10 bucks.
There you go. That's making a deal.
Who needs one?
So I just want to know what page you're starting on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. That's all. 52. Okay, so if you're getting an outline, there's how many of them? What do you got left? Yeah. From last week, it should be. Oh, you got good. I'm glad I made extra copies. All right, so Jack's got some here. He's giving them out. He's got about 4 or 5 more. Good, so we're on 54, right? 52. 52, and you're just filling in this blank, okay? Bondservant, the Lord's bondservant. You must recognize that as a bondservant of Christ, okay? Just let this sink in. As a bondservant of Christ, you have no right to be treated with respect. Let that soak in, okay? Just let it soak in for a minute. Everybody with me on that? You agree with that or you disagree? Come on, fight me on this one, right? I'll gently correct you in response. You have no right. You have no right. You have no right. I know you're an American, but you have no right. You have no right. Yeah, you do have a right. Hell, okay? You have a right. Hell. But you have no right to be treated with respect. But what do you have then? You have a responsibility. Okay? Christians don't have rights. You gave those up at the cross. Come on. Now, I fight with that thought, right? But the truth is, we have died. We lay our rights down at the cross. Jesus did. You want to pick them up? Okay, go to hell then, right? People that are going to hell pick up their rights to enter heaven. People that go to heaven have laid down their right to enter heaven. Amen? So I don't pick up my rights when I'm looking at a rebel, you know, one of these four kids. Or if you're Chris, 17, you know, you don't pick up your rights. You pick up your responsibilities. That's the word. A responsibility from the Lord to train them to respect you, right? And then two, what does it mean not to quarrel? You have to put off sinful alternatives to gentle correction. What are the alternatives to gentle correction? Grumbling. Scolding. That's the blank there, scolding. I've done it. But do you repent of it? Right? Chris, have you ever scolded? I don't think you have a scold bone in your body. Do you? What's
this morning?
Look at that. Sinner. Right. Arguing with a child. Belittling a child. Ignoring a child. That really works, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm gonna just ignore you. Some kids would be fine with that. Others really hurt with that. And isn't it interesting we pick the one that hurts them the most when we're in sin? Let me do the one that hurts you the most. You wouldn't like to be scolded. I'm going to scold you. You wouldn't like to be ignored. I'm just going to ignore you. I mean, that doesn't work. Spirit of God is like, well, yeah, I'm not into that. Right? Goes on to say, verbally attacking. And remember, good for all communication if you can add stupid idiot to the end of a phrase. Stop. I'm thinking much about this Be at Peace conference. So I think about, am I at peace right now as I'm talking? Do I have a calming confidence in the help and future good that God will provide? Do I have a calming confidence in that God will provide help and future good, regardless present circumstances? Do I have a calming confidence right now as I'm talking to my child? No, I don't. And so I scold. Be at peace. Right? Now, next one is not arguing, but kind. God's kindness leads us to Romans. There it is, Romans 2:14, 2:4. Romans 2:4, God's kindness leads to repentance. Let me say it again. God's kindness leads to repentance. Why? Because he's good. There ain't a bad bone in him because he's unseen, but there isn't anything in God. There's no shadow of turning. Oh, got you. Joke's on you. I made a deal with you and I'm letting you down. No. He doesn't make deals. He makes covenants backed by his very life and blood. That's how committed he is to his promises. So, he's kind. Therefore, you must put off bearing a grudge, giving the cold shoulder treatment, pulling away. We become what we believe and what we do. Right? You got to have both those. That's why faith has got to have works to transform. But you got to have faith. So these things, imagine, if you give a cold shoulder to a child, soon you'll become that kind of a person. You're reinforcing your ignorance, your spiritual deadness. Pulling away, hopelessness, etc. You can attack the sin of a child without being mean to the child. Right? In fact, the principle that I try to say is address the problem, edify the person. Address the problem, edify the person. And when you don't, repent. You repent. Evil is overcome by good, not by greater evil. Unless I wear a badge called a minister of justice, God's authority, and there are people who are the police officers, they're peacekeepers. They're supposed to use a force properly. And there is a spanking and that sort of thing we have, but it's not in the spirit of evil. I'm not doing evil to the child. Get to the doghouse. Get to the prison. Right? Solitary confinement for you. Ha ha ha. Right? That's not your job. You overcome evil with good. Honey, I don't want to do this. And in Lamentations 3:37, God would say, he does not willingly grieve the sons of men. Isn't that a great picture of your God? If you want to spank, you're not ready to do it. So evil is overcome by good, not by greater evil. So that's be kind. Able to teach. It is the word of God that produces faith. Remember, the children are going to become, like you, what they believe plus their actions. What they truly believe will come out in their thoughts, will come out in their desires. If I believe that McDonald's is better than Tim Bryant food that he eats, I'm going to eat at McDonald's unless I believe that eating McDonald's would kill me. And if I believe that killing isn't good for me, I'm going to do what I believe. You see what I'm saying? At the end of the day, faith is seen. You're going to help them believe things by you doing those things and talking about those. But they're doing those things. So faith comes by hearing the what? Word. The word of God restores the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the heart. A parent who's going to biblically correct a child has to grow in familiarity with God's word. Do it. You're very familiar with lots of things. We get more familiar with the word, this able to teach. You have to say more than that this is wrong, but you show it from Scripture, and that's what I've given you today. There's a bunch of Scriptures that we'll see in just a minute. Patient when wrong. What do we mean there? What a great phrase. Every phrase. As slaves, we represent the master's interest, not our own. Not our own. Being personally offended when our child sins against us is forgetting ourselves to be slaves. My master will back me up. Is yours weak? Mine is sovereign. You mess with me, you're messing with him, he'll take care of this. But what's my job right now? I got to be an ambassador to you sometimes. Sometimes I've got to be an enforcer of something, but I do it peacefully. As 1 Timothy 3 would say, elders have to keep their children in control with all dignity. Just say that word, dignity. Is that what your parenting looks like? Dignified. Right? Sometimes I have to act, sometimes I have to speak, but I'm patient when I'm wronged. Patient when I'm wronged, because I'm going to be wronged. I represent the Lord's interest. We have to respond to the offense out of a love for the master and the children he's given us. Compassion. The Apostle Paul is trying to produce in Timothy a compassion for the rebel. To lighten the sentence and say, God, okay, now that I don't have a dog in the fight, they may make me look real stupid. I hate when my children make me look like I'm stupid, right? You like that feeling? You know, in front of people, especially esteemed people that think that you know how to counsel, right? Don't you love that? Feels great. That's not the dog in this fight. I got to let go of that, right? It's got to be out of love for them. I got to give compassion. I look and I see Timothy, 11 years old, as someone that at times is going to need me to be compassionate when he is so uncompassionate. And I have to see him as he is in need, not as he is hurting me. Big whoop-de-doo, he's hurting you. I don't mean to downplay that, but the thing is, it's not about me. In fact, I said yesterday, I've said it to counselees now, I said, you know, I've done a lot of teaching on humility and how it leads to forbearance, overlooking sin. I want to go a step further. I think that we should be unoffendable. Why not? Unoffendable. In other words, maybe what I'm so upset about isn't really a right I have anyway. So now I've got options. Now I've got options how I'm going to deal with this. Isn't that great? Instead of reactions. Your justice, made in the image of God, has got to be put off. Yes, you're going to have the provocation, but you've got to do something with it that's better than just react. And the best thing I do is I run to this passage and I say, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'm the bond slave. Now, how do I be patient when I'm wronged here? Now, let's talk about this idea that when you do reprove out of a patience, with gentleness correcting, think about this, it's much easier to receive reproof from a humble person who is slow to anger and patient than from a proud person who is easily offended. If you're easily offended, your job of parenting will fail as a godly parent. You will fail if you're easily offended. And you're going to teach them how to be easily offended. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not telling you what I want to say. We have to fight against this. The Bible promotes change. And the verse that could show how it really is hard to reprove when you're angry is Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Do not answer a fool like a fool, lest he become like him and he become wise in his own eyes. But answer a fool as his folly deserves. Right? This, we're learning how to do that. So it's easier to be patient when you are correcting a child if you see the child as hell-bound and handcuffed. I always thought that was a country western song, hell-bound and handcuffed. Dangerously, in other words, they're dangerously deceived and completely enslaved. Children are, when we're rebellious, we are dangerously deceived. Not just deceived, dangerously. And completely enslaved. Think about your children when they first rebel against you, if I can illustrate it. They are putting God to the test, are they not? And when you and I sin, are we not putting God to the test? And we're stepping up for ourselves. Sorry, Joel, I had to do this. Stepping up. See, that's God telling me not to do that. I'm stepping up. I'm stepping up and I'm saying, I'm going to jump. Don't you jump. I'm going to jump. That's what sin is. I'm going to jump. Isn't that what Jesus in the high temple, right? Satan said, jump. God will catch you. Let's see what God does. And now here is the rebel child throughout his life. It's getting higher and higher. The risks are greater. The danger is greater. And he's wanting to jump into drugs now. He's wanting to jump into this and that and the other thing. I hope you start down here teaching him how to gently help him to stop jumping. And instead you sit there and say, jump! Go ahead! God will get you! Right? See what I'm saying? Think about that. Or you say, you know, you're just so stupid. Go ahead. Do what you want. You'll get yours. You'll see what happens. Get to your room. See what I'm saying? That's not gentle. That's not helping them. Come on down. There's a better way. Come let us reason. And there can be enforcement, yes. You have to enforce. You have to have consistent conduct. When you don't say to someone deceived that's on the ledge, jump. Go ahead. See what happens. You'll get yours. You jump, I'm going to spank the fire out of you. See what I mean? Is that really the way that dignified correction sounds? No, but what do you do when that happens? You repent. That's what you do. And you say, God, make me a tool here. Help me have compassion on the rebel. And then gentle correction not only has compassion, but it sympathizes and identifies with the temptation to sin and fail. And I told you last week this story, if you were here, about when Rebecca was struggling at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm just kidding. how Isaac was getting bitter. Because, you know, Isaac was pretty responsive. I think of him as a model beginning child. And then, you know, later we'll see what happens. But there was that responsiveness. And he was just he just attacked Rebecca verbally. And it was ugly. I don't remember what it was. I went into his bedroom, had to discipline him for what he did and said. But I identified. I said, honey, I know it's hard. Rebecca is a challenge. But remember. And I began to try to help him see that she needs our love. She needs our help. And we're going to stand against whatever evil she might throw at us. We're going to overcome it with good. And I'll put a vision in him for that. Right? That's what we do as parents. We identify before we discipline, before we open our mouth. Make sure you've identified with how hard it is for that 2-year-old or that 12-year-old or that 18-year-old to deal with what their story is and what's going on in their little personhood. Right? And then you won't say jump. So come here, baby. Let me sit with you. Let's come away. Come on. Get over here. Let's talk. Right? Let's sit down. No, I don't have time for what? You got to have time to do that, right? Any other blanks here I got to fill in? Number six, we have gentle correction personally admits and repents to the child any of their own sins. So sin is the word there. Any sins that are contributing factors for you. Gentle correction does not assume or judge. That next blank. You see where I'm at? Gentle correction does not assume or judge, but sticks with facts. Oh, that's so important in our day of making up facts to support your side, whatever side it is. You know, whatever hurt you have, just get facts and support it and tell everybody else they're wrong, right? And then they'll get their facts and say, no, you're wrong because you didn't. And then we'll have 17 sides presenting their version. There'll be no peace. But you as a bondservant, you're in your home. You help our country by not assuming your child has sinned. Fact of sin must be established. It's judging without facts. What if they're getting away with something? God will reveal it. It'll show up, you know? And if it doesn't show up, you may need to talk to someone to help you figure out how to be a little more aware. Maybe your radar for the phones that the kids are using. Maybe you don't have enough radar on that. You know? I'll just tell you myself, if Naomi or anybody says something that I think isn't edifying, if I see it, that phone isn't worth it. You know what I mean? So I think it's very important we keep, and we don't always know. But if you're doing checks on your child's phone, you may see some of my child's text, you tell me. I'll get them. No, we need to be careful. They need to learn. I mean, we're not going to gossip, right? We're just going to help each other. We want our children to be kind. It's stupid to be unkind. It doesn't work. It's not how life works. So when you start judging, though, you what I call muddy the water, you're not sticking with the facts. And now they feel judged. And that doesn't help. Gentle correction, this idea of God granting them repentance, we have to realize our words to a rebel are either tools. Do you see that little blank there under gentle correction? We realize our words to a rebel are either tools to grant repentance or tools to provoke deeper rationalization and rebellion and reinforce the deception and blindness to the truth. So if I tell the rebel, go ahead and jump, I'll spank you. You'll be in trouble. You won't get out of jail ever. You know what I mean? Go ahead, do it. See what happens. Yeah. What are you doing there? You're a tool to provoke. That's what you are. Deeper rebellion. Instead of a tool to grant enlightenment, awareness. This is the way to live, guys. You know? Here's how to do it. Ephesians 4:26, anger is a foothold to the devil. See, I think of this often. When I'm in a conversation, child or whatever, and I get angry, that's when destruction, the devil is starting to get in. The Bible says get rid of all anger after it says in your anger don't sin. Pretty focused there. Anger is understandable. Sometimes there's a righteous response, but you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of that and address the issue. So you don't want to deepen, you want to be a tool of the Spirit or a tool of the devil. And then use Scripture to bring about perspectives on God and on sin that aids in spiritual conviction, correction of behavior before God. And you can look at those examples of how God used Nathan to help David repent. The goodness of God, the severity of God was all in that passage in 2 Samuel 12. And perspectives on God. What are the four realities of God that I really push if you're reading through the Bible with your children or you're talking about God? So you want to give them perspectives when they sin on God, but you want to do it outside of when they sin. Just talk about God. God is a righteous what? Judge, thank you. God is a sovereign what? King. Now again, you're going to be graded on this, guys. You better write these things down. God is a good Father. And lastly, God is a wise Creator. So you got four ideas there. Judge, King, Father, Creator. Just put the adjective in front of it. Judge. Thank you. King. Yeah. Father. Yeah. And Creator. Wise. Yeah. So that's very important to use God, pictures of God. When a child sees their sin in the light of the goodness of God and the severity of God, a proper fear and sorrow is produced that will lead to repentance. They see the severity of God and they see the goodness of God, hopefully in your life and in your words outside of trouble and in trouble, and it can produce a proper fear of God's severity because he's a righteous judge and a sovereign king, and a proper sorrow because he's a good father. And I can't help but hear Nathan's words to David that he speaks to us every time we sin. He says, if that had been too little, you ain't seen nothing yet. I got treasures of good to give you. You will feel, think, relate, be as good and wealthy. Yes, it's true. I'm not telling you get rich. I'm not saying that. But you will take whatever gift you have if you follow the Lord and make the most of it. Not the least of it. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. They needed to see both the severity and the goodness, and then they say, okay, I repent. In their little way. Right? And you're the model of that. God, forgiveness. So grant forgiveness when sins are confessed and give practical direction and hope and help. Give them a verse that they can think on next time they struggle. Tell them next time, here's how we need to work through this. What should you have done? That's a good question. Gentle correction ends with, what should you have said? What should you have done? Let's redo this, right? So gentle correction, and it ends with this, and this is where I'm going to end here today. And then I'm going to have Jonathan just, we've got a few minutes. I just want to know his verses, and maybe next week he can explain them. It gives him a chance here. Some ingredients of gentle correction. Biblical, right? You got a verse of some sort. Vertical. You're focused on God. Humble. You're not better than them. You're right there with them. Practical. You know, there's something you're going to direct them to do out of this. Forgiving. They've wronged you. They need to say, please forgive me, Mom. Please forgive me, Dad. Let's pray to God now. Ask God. It's forgiving. You forgive. It's gospel-centered. What do I mean by that? Jesus is the payment and the model. He's everything in this. And it's consistent in its consequences. Be consistent. This chart that I gave you is for you to take home. And it's not for you to take as the word of the Lord. So do not sue me if you apply this and someone comes and takes you away. Just kidding. But my point is, this is just a general way of thinking. And I hate to say this every time, but I like you to have something you can look at, and then we talk about it. So please try to bring this back. Put it in your purse. Fold it. Put it in your Bible. But there's scriptures after the first two pages on all of these eight traits. And when we think of using these eight traits, we give them to a child and we say, honey, I'm looking through the laziness verses, and mommy and daddy struggle with laziness sometimes. Let me look at some motivations here, some directions from God's word. Because when you complain, that's the beginning of seeing lazy sometimes. So we talk about it. Jonathan, what are your few verses there that you got?
All right, well, I got three.
Three.
It's just going to be a teaser today, right?
It's a teaser today. He's going to come ready.
Two of them are things that we end up telling our kids often.
And I'm going to need you to come here so you can speak in the mic, because people, I mean, there's thousands watching right now.
You're just giving over the class.
I'm giving, yeah, this is dangerous to give it to a teacher.
I just get to hold a tiny little microphone.
This is cool.
I have the power right
here. All right, so we got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, just come back.
So two of these apply to things that we tell our kids, and one of them applies to something that we kind of have to tell ourselves. I have to tell myself frequently, and I'll let you try to think about which one is which, and we'll talk about them next week. One of them is Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body.
That's a winning verse, huh?
Another one is Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And the last one, this you know, this is James 1, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the four is the big kind of crux of this verse. Like, this is the big deal. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So we'll be able to chat a little bit about those three next week when Tim gives me his whole class period.
I will gently think about that. No, it's good, because I believe in these pews, wherever God's Spirit has used you, it's helpful. It's very helpful. No one's an expert, right? Even if you read a book by an expert, let me just give you a clue, they're not. Okay? They write in perfect worlds, and they write about bad things in a perfect way. And then they've overcome that for sure years ago. Now, we all need to gently be corrected by the Spirit. That's what we're saying today. So, in closing, I want to hear the eight traits, okay? Coming from Ephesians 6:4, which says, fathers, do not provoke your children or exasperate them. It means wives as well, mothers. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, trait real quick. You don't care if you get them in order. What you got? If I'm going to be a successful parent, I better what? Anyone. You could do today's gentle correction. That would be like easy. All right, here they go. I'm going to give vertical goals. You're bringing up in the Lord. Prayerful dependence, right? Vertical goals, prayerful dependence. Why prayerful dependence? Because you cannot bring up a child in the Lord. You can't do it. Only He can. But you're to aim. All right? Godly example. And close companionship, those two. Evaluate yourself. Have I been a godly example? Okay, not perfect, but am I growing? And a close companion. Not overly so, but you're there. You're present enough. Enough. And then the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline, structured environment, consistent consequences. There's discipline right there. Structured environment. Consistent consequences. We're going to talk about that, not next week, but the following week. Structure and environment, consistent consequences. And then instruction of the Lord, because that comes after control, discipline, right? can't talk to a one-year-old as much as you can a 16-year-old. So there's instruction. So you have daily conversations. Wisdom finding or God-centered conversations, right? Daily conversations. And lastly, what we said today, gentle what? Oh, good, you got it. Okay, you got a 10%. Good job. Good job. Let's do better.